Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. These are your favorite hosts, Sarah and Garrison, and we're here today to talk to you about a movie called Mutant Aliens.
Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
So it is a great title because it really says it all in the name. I don't know how else to explain it other than this was a recommendation from an old friend of our studios who is really into animation. And this was one of the creators that was one of her inspirations for her art. So I figured that we would give this a shot because I like to branch out of my bubble a lot. So this was a good one. This was an interesting one. I fully appreciate this one for what it is. However, it is not appropriate for anybody below of the age of 18. So if you are 18 or under as of zero, whatever day, I don't know, whatever day you're listening this, just turn this off.
Well, I think, Sarah, that telling them that they can't watch it makes them even more curious, making them want to stay even more.
But this is not that, though. You should not listen to this, though. Like, seriously, that's not okay, yo. That's just not okay. It's, like, illegal or something? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, so this is a really raunchy film. To say the least. Right. Stylistically beautiful. I love it. But raunchy.
Yep, that's an understatement probably. The plot of this? Well, what I can muster from a plot of this film is that an astronaut is sent into space and a politician sabotages his travel, cutting off his fuel, making him stranded in space, and sort of making the astronaut like a martyr of sorts. And 20 years later, the astronaut comes back and he talks about what he did in space and how he got back. And these alien creatures come from space that are like these giant noses.
Hands and feet and
like just stuff happens. They entered the Pentagon and the White House, and people die, and people are having sex and
yeah, there's like many wild sex scenes. Yeah. Yeah, so I think the actual story, though, like the name, because they're trying to figure out what actually happened in space with this guy. Like, that's the whole plot of it. Like, what happened to this astronaut? Like, his story is so wild. What really happened? Who are these aliens that he's brought back with him? You know, why are they, like, weird looking? You know, his story's not adding up. His daughter finds out and explains later that on his deathbed that he made it with some animals that he was testing with on the ship, and from there created mutant babies with various animals.
Right. So, but before we get there, so when the astronaut comes back from space after 20 years, he tells a story, right, of how he got back, and that story was him like landing on a planet with giant noses, and he mated with their queen, and he had these babies, and their snot fueled his ship, so that's how he got back. And I find that like so weird, like, because people find out later that that story is made up, and why would you make that story up? Because it like because it doesn't make you look good. It's kind of weird.
I don't know. Maybe like the truth was too weird, you know, for him reality wise. Like he couldn't come to terms with his own reality.
Yeah, because there was bestiality. Like he had sex with animals, and like he basically, like, you know, they can't give consent, so that's kind of like really messed up if you think about it. And not only that, but he mixes genes with the aliens or with the animals rather, and like makes and like puts chemicals with them to like make them kind of weird and like give them special traits, and it's all very strange because in some way they're not just animals, but they're also his kids, so they're also the siblings of his human Earth daughter.
Right. You know what? Didn't think about that till just now. Thank you for that. Okay, anyway,
which I'm just thinking now, he was kind of like really like kissy with his daughter, so maybe I'm looking too much into it, but maybe that's something to think about.
You know what? This is a really great animation, though. Like, it is so great to watch. I really enjoyed this, despite this crazy story that we have here, which makes me think, and I didn't do much background, like, research on Bill Plimpton, the creator, but this seems very train of thought to me.
Right, like very stream of consciousness, not really thinking too hard about it, just doing what he feels best.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a first draft. And like, okay, so for me, the first 12 minutes was really strong and it went by quickly, and I really liked it, and I really liked the art and like the backgrounds, because it's like on paper and things like that, like paper and pencils, so it has a really cool look to it. But after like the 12 minutes, it just started getting like weird. Still like kind of intrigued, but I think the runtime was a little long. Like it could have been like 20 minutes shorter, and it would have been a bit better.
Yeah, you could be right about that. But it was probably just kind of and sold as is, you know, kind of, probably not much editing was done. you know, maybe put in post, some editing in post, but it would be like music and voiceover.
Right. So from what I've gathered about Bill Plimpton is that he usually makes shorter works, like he's only made a handful of feature films, like two or three, and at this point this may have been his first, so maybe I'll be lenient on him in that way, but the pacing kind of felt off. Like, it felt like there were too many cuts. Like they didn't really linger on shots for very long, and it felt kind of fast, in some ways.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, it seemed like it was something that was kind of just put together, like paper mache together, and it creates a story kind of awkwardly.
Right, very awkwardly, because this film had a message, a very on the nose message, pun intended, I suppose. Yeah, so I had this very on the nose message with a very overt corrupt politician that basically just wanted money, and who actually kind of, like, did you think he looked like someone, the politician?
Oh, definitely. Which, when was that made?
It was 2001.
Yeah, so too early to predict. So, Bill Plimpton, what the heck were you thinking? What's going on in your brain, man?
I guess he knew something that we didn't know. He had access to forbidden knowledge and was able to predict our future in some way.
Indeed.
So there was a fiance character who was I probably hated that character, and I rarely hate characters, but this guy annoyed me.
What was it that annoyed you so much?
He was like a sociopathic teenage boy with only one thing on his mind, and like he had a problem. Like, he needs therapy because he's like a crazy sex rabbit that just wants to have sex constantly, and he constantly thinks that other people are having sex. Like towards the end of the film, when his fiance, his girl was on the tower, right, and she was trying to pull up the mutant aliens, but the fiance thought that they were having sex. Like, how are they doing that there? Like, that doesn't even make sense. And there was also the scene when they were riding in the car, and he didn't want to help until she pulled off her top and started messing with him, and then that's what, like, made him want to turn around.
Yeah, that boy needs therapy.
But during the last scene, like, during the last few seconds, right, maybe his suspicions were right, because when she was kissing her husband, she holds out her hand and like holds the mutant alien, right? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's to imply that they were kind of messing around.
Maybe. You know, I didn't think about that.
Which would be incest, which we kind of mentioned earlier. So...
Whoa. Okay, this has gotten, like, way... I said at the beginning of this podcast that this was not meant for children. Or people under the age of 18. Who are children. Children.
Right. Yeah, this is a very strange film, and I kind of did a bit of background on Bill Plimpton, and I guess this is like what he does. Like, he has a very particular brand, like a type of humor. Yeah,
it reminds me a lot of like Ren and Stimpy, like Rick and Morty, kind of weird sci-fi, not sci-fi, raunchy, super raunchy humor, mind fuck, basically.
Yeah, but it's not clever. Like, he just sort of does it, but it's the same joke, right?
So yeah.
It kind of wears thin quickly.
Right. But you know what? He draws what he draws, and he do what he do. So, I can't beat him for doing that, you know?
That's true, and he draws it all himself, and this film had like over like several thousand drawings, so that's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool.
That is a feat in itself, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It's not easy to be an animator. And this was all Bill. I don't think, you know, I think it's all hand-drawn. It's all hand-colored. Mm-hmm. Very low budget.
Right. And, well, I think that's, I mean, I don't really know what else to say.
I don't really have anything else to say either about Bill Plimpton. This was an interesting... I definitely recommend watching this at some point after the age of 18.
Right, so...
In your life, yeah.
So what would you rate this?
Like a 6 out of 10, yeah.
Right, yeah, so this made me curious about some of his other works, because I like his, like, the art style and how, like, things look. Hmm. And there were parts that were really clever, and I like how it was foreshadowed, like the nose people, like how that was just like a made up story so that it made sense for when they actually showed up, and it was just like a costume, and so I think that was kind of clever. And so there was a line of dialogue done by the politician that doesn't really make sense. So when he came back, he said to the astronaut, you could have died a rich man. And I'm thinking, how? Because he tried to kill him. Like, not only when he went in, he went into space, but when he came back, he tried to kill him and didn't offer any alternatives. So, like, what are you talking about?
I think it might just be something like a politician would say, you know, just like, I don't know. Maybe that's just a really bad dialogue.
And there was also when they captured the mutant aliens, and the politician made it look like they were just attacking, and when the astronaut died, he made it look like that the aliens killed him. But I think it would have been a cooler thing if the politician blamed the astronaut for the attack, because him dying by the hands of the mutant aliens sort of makes him look like a martyr, and I think that having him turn into an enemy would have been more interesting.
You know, that would have been more interesting. But I don't
know. It's kind of hard to like talk about this, because it's kind of hard to really know like how to really pinpoint to this movie,
right? And maybe it's not meant to have that like really intense meeting that a lot of other art pieces are, you know, quote unquote meant to have. So this just could be a form of expression, and that's okay too. Like, I think that's like half of the battle that artists struggle with, is just doing art. So to say that, you know, his art piece is like the worst thing out there I've ever seen. No, it is not the worst thing out there I've ever seen. Yes, it could have been better in a lot of other ways, but it's also really cool in its own way. So I'm not upset that I watched this. I've been upset about other things that we've watched, and I'm not upset about this, you know?
Yeah, sure, yeah. So I'd probably give this, what you said, like a 6 or something as well.
Oh, yeah.
Any final thoughts?
No, what are we doing next week? What are we doing?
Earwig and the Witch, the Studio Ghibli's first CG movie that's on HBO Max.
Yes. Yes. I love Studio Ghibli. Yes.
But until then, go back to Saga or Podsaga.com and listen to some of our other stuff, and ask us anything. Ask us anything, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.